Thank you, Dwight, and thank you for being here tonight. I know we have a number of folks out, but we're so glad that all of you have made the extra effort to join us tonight in our service here. I fear that sometimes people suffer from what they call SAD, that is seasonal adjustment disorder. And maybe you've suffered from that as well. I don't know, but I know that a lot of people do. And sometimes it's kind of hard to get adjusted to the time change. I know I keep finding myself waking up in the morning about 3:30 and try to go back to sleep, and that's not real, real easy to do. But anyway, if you're suffering from that, I hope that you're able to conquer that soon. But we are glad you're here and thankful for the rain, the cooler weather that is approaching, and all of that is a great blessing from God. If you will, open your Bibles tonight to the book of John, the 9th chapter, John chapter 9 and verse 1. You know, Jesus, as he passed through various cities in and around Jerusalem, often encountered those that were in opposition to him. And the Bible tells us in the 8th chapter that there were those who actually threw stones at Jesus because of what he had to say about Abraham. And he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." And he was. For in the book of John chapter 1, we read that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and came and dwelt among us here upon this earth. But in the 9th chapter of the book of John, the Bible tells us that Jesus had fled from those who were ready to stone him. And in so doing, in verse 1, the Bible says, "As he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And the disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' And Jesus answered and said, 'That this man hath not sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him.'" Now, kind of get the picture, if you will. You know, the Jews back in that particular time, and I'm not really sure whether or not those in Israel believe that today, but there are many people in America that believe it, that if a person is suffering from cancer, or if he is suffering from heart disease or some other kind of malady, it is attributable to some sin that he might have committed. And if it wasn't him, then it was his parents, or that it was someone in the family whose sin that brought this horrible condition upon him. I've seen people that were born physically challenged, and people often make the statement, "Well, I wonder what he did, or I wonder what happened for him to receive the wrath of God in this way," which is not the case at all. And so Jesus said there was a greater purpose here with this man being born blind. He rejects that philosophy or that theology that this man did anything at all, or that his parents did anything. There are three things that I want you to notice about this story. I want you to notice, first of all, that this man had a need. He did. Anybody that has ever been born blind has a need to see. I've been around a lot of blind people in my lifetime, and perhaps you have too. I've been around people that were born blind. They could not see at all. They could not tell whether it is daylight or whether it is dark outside. But I've been around people who lost their eyesight and could not see. And in the book of John chapter 9 and verse 6 and 7 there, Jesus tells us that this man wanted to see. And so Christ just actually spat upon the ground, and he made spittle from the ground and the saliva out of his own mouth. And then he took that spittle and he placed it on that man's eyes. Now, Christ could have done this in any way. I mean, you know, he could have healed the man just on the spot. He could have spoken healing to him. But he didn't do that. But the Bible says that Christ actually made spittle, placed it on his eyes, and then told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the word Siloam actually meant sent. And Christ did that. He sent this man to the pool. Maybe it was a way of testing his faith as to whether or not he would go there actually and wash his eyes. And he did. And the Bible said the minute that he washed his eyes, the spittle out of his eyes, the clay from his eyes, the man was able to see. You know, sometimes there is a greater blindness in our world, and it's not physical blindness, but is the blindness that often engulfs much of our world. It is a spiritual blindness. Why, let me give you an example of how people are blind spiritually. People open the Bible and they read the Word of God and they close their eyes to the truth. And in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about those whose eyes have been blinded by Satan himself. But there are many tonight who are in spiritual darkness because they have chosen to be blind. They don't want the light that comes into the world through Jesus Christ our Lord. And sometimes we search for the wrong thing, searching in our search for truth. I heard about a lady the other day who went into the police department. And she said, "I have lost my husband." And the man there at the police station said, "Well, what is his height?" And the lady said, "I never noticed." And the man at the police department said, "Well, is he slim or is he healthy?" And the lady said, "I don't know. He could be slim or healthy. I don't know." And the inspector said, "Well, what's the color of his eyes?" And she said, "Well, I never noticed." "Well, what's the color of his hair?" She said, "Well, it changes with the season." "Well, what was he wearing?" And the lady said, "A suit, casuals, I don't remember exactly." And the inspector says, "Was someone with him?" And the lady says, "Yes, my Labrador dog, Calvin. And he was tied with a golden chain. His height was 30 inches, healthy, blue eyes, blackish brown hair. His left foot thumbnail is slightly broken. He never barks. He wears a golden belt around his neck, was studded with blue balls. He likes non-vegetables. We eat together. We jog together." And the lady started crying, and the inspector said, "Well, let's search for the dog first." Well, believe it or not, in our world, there are people that are searching for the wrong thing, trying to find truth. This man, no doubt, wanted to see. If he had been blind from his birth, no doubt, he had never tasted sight before, but he wanted to see. Don't you know that people all around him were talking about the beautiful things that they had seen, and this man could not see. He had a need to see, and Jesus knew that he could heal this man. He knew that he could reach out to him in ways that others could not reach out. But there are many in our world today that are spiritually blind. In the book of Zephaniah, chapter 1 and 17, this is a little book over the Old Testament, by the way. But there is a prophecy here that comes to us that says, "And I will bring distress upon men that they shall walk like blind men because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh shall be as dung." Now God prophesied through Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5 and following here also, that the blind at some point would be able to see. Do you realize that Christ came into the world to give us sight, to open our eyes? It's amazing, isn't it, when we look at the world today and there's so many that are lost spiritually speaking. And there's so many in our world today that have blinded themselves because they've not availed themselves to the truth of God's Word. David said in Psalms 119, verse 105, "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway." But Isaiah said, "Thus saith the Lord God, He that created the heavens and stretcheth them out, He that spread forth the earth, that which cometh out of it," he says, "He that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. I am the Lord your God, and I have called thee in righteousness, and will hold you with your hand, and will keep thee." And notice what he says, "I will give thee for a covenant unto the people, and a light to the Gentiles, to open the eyes that are blinded, to bring out the prisoners from their prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." So God is saying here in this prophecy that Christ was to come to give light. Isaiah is the messianic prophet. And by the way, Christ alluded to that particular passage in the book of Luke 2 and verse 32. And Luke wrote about it in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts in verse 47. And then again, Paul alludes to it in Acts chapter 26 and verse 23. Jesus is the light of the world. For in John 8 and verse 12, he said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Christ came to give us light. But just as the blind man obeyed Jesus and went and washed in that pool of Siloam. Now think about it. If that man had not gone to the pool to wash his eyes, wouldn't he have been able to see? No. Well, the same thing is true with us today. Christ can tell us what we ought to do to be saved, and we can believe it. But if we do nothing about it by being baptized, washed in the Lamb's blood for the forgiveness of our sins, then we cannot receive the spiritual sight that God wants to give unto all of us. But not only did this man have a need, there's something else you need to recognize. There is the story of a name in this passage, and that is the name of Jesus. We don't know the name of the blind man. The Bible just calls him the blind man. And I guess probably if Christ really wanted us to know, he would have been so named. But that really wasn't important to the story because, see, the focus was not so much upon the blind man as it was upon Christ himself. You see, the real heart of this story is not about a man receiving his sight, but it is about a Savior coming into the world to open the eyes of all of us. And in John, the 9th chapter, verses 3 through 5, you will find that to be true, that Christ only had authority even over those who were blind. Do you know that this one miracle of Christ proved that he was the Son of God? You know, I've often thought, how many miracles would God have to perform to get people who walk in darkness to believe? Now, I know a lot of people read the Bible and they say, well, I read the Bible, I just don't think it's true, but if God were to speak to me or God were to perform a miracle in my life, then I would be made a believer. But in the book of John 20, 30 and 31, the Bible says many other things did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe, and believing you might have life through his name. Through his name, the name of Jesus. Only he alone could lay claim to the divine name, for he is the one true light that lightens the darkness of this world. In Philippians chapter 2, the Bible says that God gave him the name Jesus, which means light also. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and hath given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in the earth and even things under the earth, even that satanic world. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God Almighty. And it is only through that name that salvation is offered. For in Acts 4 and verse 12, the Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And Christ said it best in the 28th chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 18, when he said, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. All authority, it all belongs unto him. So there was a need, and there was a name. But through all of this, and what this blind man did by washing, there was a notion also. What was the notion? Well, the notion was that this blind man would tell others of the work of God in his life. Have you ever shared with other people? Now, I know a lot of people say, well, we don't go around witnessing to people, and we don't go around always telling about our life story. But all of us could probably talk about experiences that have happened in our life where God has blessed us immeasurably and where you felt the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I think it is incumbent upon us to do that. I think it's important that we share our story about the work of God in our lives. Well, when you stop and analyze it, when you really think about it, the Bible is filled with one story after another. This is one of them. We can read about Lydia's conversion in Acts chapter 16. We read about Dorcas and the wonderful way that God blessed her and how she was raised from the dead. We can talk about Lazarus in the book of John chapter 11. So over and over and over we could go here. But I think sometimes we are afraid to tell other people of the good things that God has done for us. Maybe because they're unbelievers, and maybe because you think they're going to scoff at what you believe and what you teach. But the notion was that this man was going to do something about being able to see. That God had blessed him now. And you know what? He just went everywhere telling other people about what God had done for him. If you read that whole chapter of the book of John chapter 9, you will see that to be true. I mean, the Pharisees had questions they wanted to ask him. They even brought in the young man's parents and discussed it with them. And they were ready to cast them all out of the synagogue because they had mentioned the name Jesus and because they believed in Christ. Notice, first of all, that the neighbors of this man ask about him. These neighbors had seen this blind man. He had been sitting, no doubt, begging and asking for alms deeds, which was certainly not uncommon. Would be kind of like maybe the homeless sitting on the streets of Palestine and someone coming along and reaching out to them. Well, in this case, this man is blind and really did have a need. He was not just someone who was floundering out in the world. And because he had that need and because at the name of Jesus his eyes were open, now the notion is that he goes to his neighbors and he begins to tell them about what Jesus has done for him. He tells them, listen, if you go down to verse 11, he tells them exactly what happened. And he doesn't leave out the details. Sometimes we want to leave out the details and we say, oh yeah, God bless me. But we really don't tell how God blesses us. They take him now to the Pharisees in verse 13, and they're asking him all kinds of questions about what goes on. And here again, he tells them what happened. He conveys unto them the very story once again. He says unto them in verse 17 that Jesus is a prophet. Now, they didn't believe that. They had the prophets of the Old Testament. They knew about Isaiah. They knew about Micah. They knew about Jeremiah. They knew about the minor and the major prophets. And certainly they didn't consider Jesus to be a prophet. And so when this man who had been blind and now his eyes are open by the will of God, he begins to talk about the fact that Jesus really is a prophet of God. And if you remember that the test of a prophet was that in the Old Testament time was if a man prophesied something and it actually came true. You knew that he was of God. This morning in our Bible class here in the auditorium, we were talking about the Apostle Paul and how he had told those that were on the ship and in the 27th chapter of the book of Acts that even though they embarked upon that journey against the will of Paul, he had told them, hey, listen, don't fear. You're not going to lose your life. You'll lose the ship, but you won't lose your life. You won't face death. And it so happened, just like Paul said. The blind man says, this man is a prophet. And he even goes further than that. It's not that God just spake unto him or revealed it unto Jesus, but in verse 31, he says, listen to this, that Jesus is one whom God hears. Now, that was really important to the Jew because they didn't believe that God heard everybody. For this man says in John chapter 9 and verse 31 that we know that God heareth not the prayers of sinners, but he that worships him and does the will of the Father, him God hears. Now what he's trying to say perhaps maybe to some of these Pharisees is that, you know, maybe God doesn't hear your prayer, but he hears the prayer of Jesus Christ. And he says that Jesus is not only one. The Father hears, but in verse 31, he is the one who is a worshiper of God. A worshiper of God. And now his eyes are open, and he begins to see for the first time. Can't you imagine how blessed this man must have felt being able to see? It's almost hard for us to really picture in our mind what it would be like to be born blind and then suddenly, all of a sudden, your eyes are open and you're able to see for the first time. Do you think you'd go around praising the one who did that? That's exactly what this blind man did. He did. The Apostle John recognized Jesus as the one who gave light. In the book of John 1, verse 4, the Bible says, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. And it shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. I'm thankful tonight that I've been able to see. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful to others who have shared the message of Christ with me. You know, I have seen people that I have reached with the gospel of our Lord and our Savior. I've seen people who have turned away, but I have been blessed through the years to see people who heard the word and were very anxious to obey the gospel. Just this last week, as I mentioned this morning, one dear precious soul became obedient unto Christ in baptism. And she said, I'm so thankful to God. And I'm going to tell you, she said, I'm going to tell everybody about my relationship with God. She said, I want to go home and tell my sister. I want to go home and tell my son. I want to tell them about the Lord and what He has done for me. And I'm telling you, I believe that every Christian ought to respond like this man did here in John chapter 9. I hope we're doing it. I fear sometimes maybe we're reluctant to do it. I fear sometimes that maybe we do not reach out in areas of evangelism like we ought to. We're afraid to bring up the name of Jesus because we're fearful of what other people might say about us or how they might respond. But this man was not afraid. And he kept declaring him to be the Son of God, a worshiper of God, a prophet of God. And we ought to be doing the same thing, brethren. We should. I hope tonight that if you believe that with all of your heart, that you'll take it to heart and you'll do something about it this week, that you'll share that message of Christ with someone. And if you are a believer in Christ, may God give you a greater determination to serve Him. The Bible says that if we believe with all of our heart that Christ is God's Son, just like this blind man did, and if we're willing to repent of our sins and change our ways, amend our ways to start doing that which is right, and being able to confess the name of Christ, just exactly what this man did, because he says here, you know, don't you know that they could put us out of the synagogue if we confess Jesus, but he chose to do that. And if we're willing to be immersed or baptized for the remission of sins, and God, listen, gives us sight. He opens our eyes. We no longer walk in darkness, but we have the light of life. Dwight has selected a song that we're going to sing. It's commonly referred to as an invitation song. It could be a song of exhorting you to do the right thing, and I hope it will be that as we stand and as we sing.